breaking the dominion of sin in your life. One of the most important subjects the Bible talks about. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for being my wonderful partner and wonderful friend. I thank the Lord for you. Now, I'm going to continue teaching. Usually I say my hellos and read comments and so forth, but today I want to complete the teaching. So I want to get right into it. Do you remember what I said already to you the last 2 days? I talked about what Romans chapter 6, let's just go to Romans chapter 6 talks about it. Because, you know, I just want you to get the whole message because it's so important that we get it just right. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." And then he makes a mighty statement in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" This is, I think, the key, the headline key to being free from the dominion of sin. And baptism in water is simply the outer declaration that I'm truly baptized into the death of Jesus, and then I'm raised to new life with him. And so, Paul says in verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," verse 5, Romans 6, "we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, verse 7. "He that is dead is freed from sin." Now that's a very clear verse. We always wonder, like, how do I get there? That's what we're talking about. And then it goes on to say, "Likewise," verse 11, "reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, or consider yourself dead unto sin." So it's something you and I have to do on a daily basis, where we say no to sin. But one more thing. I love this because this is so powerful and it gives us the answer. Verse 13. "Neither yield ye your members." So it's our job to yield or not to yield to God. But it says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." So it's possible to go back to sin if we yield to it. "But yield yourselves unto God." That is the key. Surrendering to the Lord, it's a process. It's a daily surrender that will bring me to that place where verse 14 says that's sin. "For sin shall not have dominion over you." All right. Now, after reading all this, I come to one conclusion, verse 13, that I have to yield to the Lord. I have to surrender to the Lord. And once I do, I told you yesterday, the cross speaks of shame, meaning people will persecute you the second you say yes to the cross. The cross speaks of weakness, where you come to the end of your own self, your own strength. You cannot depend on yourself. Now you have to depend upon the Lord. And the cross speaks of death. You have to die to the things of the world, and then you can live the real Christian life. So the cross is not about a past tense experience where I was forgiven from the penalty of sin. Remember what I said. When you got saved, you were free from the penalty of sin. After you got saved, you become free in a process from the dominion of sin as you surrender. When the Lord returns, we will be free from the presence of sin. There'll be no sin around. So, what do we do in the meantime? In the meantime, we do exactly what Hebrews 12 tells us to do. And this is daily. If you really want to see victory in your life over sin, this is absolutely key. Without it, it's not going to happen. So Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 2, which I'm sure you know it by heart. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So, you and I looking unto Jesus will be able to endure the cross also. We need to look to the Lord who did it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Meaning the joy that will be set before us. Through the cross, we can endure, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Wow. The right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds. And then the Bible says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So, Jesus was looking beyond the cross and seeing what it was accomplishing for him, he was filled with joy. And that took him victoriously through the suffering of the shame of the cross. He'll do the same for us. So when we look to Jesus, and remember this, when you surrender to the Lord, like it says in Romans 6:13, then the Lord begins to live his life in you and through you, and now you have the power to say no to the power of sin. That's the difference between you before you were saved and you after you were saved. That's the difference between us and the world. The world has no power over sin. The enemy brings them in at will. But when we are tempted and sin tries to get in through the door, we say, no, I don't want that. And we have the power to resist. We even have power to resist the devil himself, and he'll flee if we are living the true Christian life of surrender to the Lord. Because it says, submit to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, you can't resist the devil till you've submitted to the Lord. In James, it says very clearly, submit to God, surrender to God, and then you'll have the ability to say, no, devil, I don't want this. And he'll flee. So, the minute we allow the cross, our yieldedness to the Lord, our yieldedness to the life of surrender, because that's what the cross is all about, is when we surrender to the Lord and live the Christian life. The cross is not something that had happened to us in the past. Not only that, it's more than that. Not only did the cross deliver us from the penalty of sin and the sins of the past, but we carry the cross with us. Jesus said in Luke 14, take up your cross daily and follow me. He said the same in Matthew, same in Mark, same in John. Now, the minute we live that life, we will stop falling continually into the same sins, confessing them over and over, because that's not the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is once you confess and renounce and forsake, you're free. You don't go back to it. So, Paul, that's why Paul says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, he said, shall we go on sinning? Well, you can't go on sinning because the cross means death to that, okay? It means death to sin. And death to sin is the only solution to the problem of reoccurring sin, because when you die to the world and to self and you deny self and follow the Lord and the Lord is living his life through you, you can't keep going back into the same old habits and sins and confessing the same thing. So Paul doesn't say to us we are to die to sin. He said we're dead already to sin. Why? Because now we've surrendered to the Lord. Romans 6:6 says our old man, our old self, was crucified with Jesus. When we completely surrendered to him, that old flesh, that old man, as it is called, surrendered, and at that time it was crucified. So, number one, the cross will begin to break the dominion of sin. Number two, the cross will bring you to a place of power too. Even though the cross speaks of weakness, where you kind of, you know, get to the end of yourself, end of your resources, but it's the only pathway to power. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians. Let's go together to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 4. So when we say no, because now the Lord is alive in us and we have the power to say no, it says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 13, for though he was crucified through weakness, meaning the Lord, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Meaning, the cross brings us to a place of power. Through the cross, we live by the power of God. Number three, the cross makes us fruitful. The second you live the life of denial to self, the second you say no to the world and yes to Jesus on a daily basis, this is the key. It's not like a one-time thing that happens years ago. It's daily. Look what it says in John 12 and verse 23, right through 25. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you. They had just come and said, we would see Jesus. Well, how do you see Jesus? You see Jesus when you die to the flesh. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life will lose it. He that hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. If any man will serve me, let him follow me. But what did he say earlier? He said, the second that corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it will produce fruit. So, fruitfulness is the result of the life of denial self and denial of the world and saying no to sin and walking away. But not only is this a life of fruitfulness, but now we put the flesh to death. Think about this. That process of saying no daily brings about the result mentioned in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, where now we become accustomed to allowing the Holy Spirit to literally put the flesh to death. It says, for if you live, present tense live, after the flesh ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, again, present tense, if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now these are people who are led by the Spirit, because it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, now we come to what will happen to us finally. We come to the pathway to glory. Not only now are we living free from sin, because we have said no to the flesh, and we've said no to the flesh because we've surrendered daily to the Lord Jesus. So, this is not something that God has promised only in heaven, where we're going to have and experience the pathway to his glory and presence on a daily basis in our lives. So this is not something we experience in heaven. We may know it in measure now, even on earth. How? All right, here's how. 1 Peter. See, this is all in the Bible. This is so precious. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God, in a precious, resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of. On your part, he is glorified. You see, I told you yesterday, the second you choose the life of the cross, you'll be persecuted. The second you say no to the world, you'll be persecuted. The result will be the glory of God will begin to rest on your life. When you choose the cross, you choose the shame of the cross, the weakness of the cross, the death of the cross. Now you get persecuted, you come to the end of yourself, and you die to self. The second you do that, sweet people, the glory of God will be yours. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus chose the way of the cross to glory. There are no shortcuts. Only the cross brings us to a place of glory. You know, when I was young, that's really all I heard. I don't know why today this message is not, you know, preached from the housetop. When I got saved, when Corrie ten Boom came to minister at the catacombs, the message she preached was on the cross. Basilea Schlink, the cross. Derek Prince, the cross. Lorne Cunningham, the first message I ever heard was on dying to self, on the cross. Catherine Kuhlman, first time I went to see her, she preached on the cross. She said Catherine Kuhlman died. I mean, I heard her say that over and over and over again. I did not understand the message. I was young. I didn't get it, you know. Some people today, even when I'm speaking now, I don't think they really understand what I'm talking about. Like, you know, Paul the Apostle says in 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12, it's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I've been hearing this message now for nearly 50 years. If we be dead with him, wow. Verse 12, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. How do we deny him? I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about my own life and my own past and bringing tears to my eyes. But especially this message that has changed my life. And today very few are talking about it. I don't get that. Like, why do they not even bring it up? I don't know. I've been there a long time. I've seen the greatest. I've sat under the most anointed people that ever walked the earth. Next to the apostles, I don't know who had a greater ministry of healing than Catherine Kuhlman. Many have said it in the past. Catherine Kuhlman had the greatest healing ministry next to the apostles. Think about that. And I heard that from the greatest people that lived in those days, who are all in heaven now. The message is quite simple. 2 Timothy tells us and puts it so sweet. It's a faithful saying, he says. This is something we need to understand. It's faithful. It'll affect us in a good way, in a heavenly way, in a glorious way. If we be dead with him, we will live with him. And those who are dead will suffer with him. But watch what happened as you read the word. See what took place in the life of the Lord. The glory of God came. And Peter, in 1 Peter 4, he says, if you live that kind of life, the Spirit of glory will rest on you. Lord, help
that want to understand what I've been talking about. Come on, stretch your hands. I know some of you want this life. You just don't know fully how to get there. Well, the Holy Spirit will show you how. He'll lead you there. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, show them. Show them the pathway to the cross. Show them the pathway to true Christian life and power. Let them live that life, Lord. Not just hear it and not understand it like I used to be when I was in my 20s. Lord, bring them into depth now. Bring them into maturity now, as you brought so many of us already. Bring them to that place where the anointing will always be there on their life and your presence always in their heart and manifesting through them to others. In the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord, with this revelation truth. Let them live the crucified life in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you for joining me today. And this has been a very precious 3 days for me talking to you about the cross. Having dominion over sin, the only way I know, the cross. Well, it's time to give. It's time to give to the Lord's work. You know, people who are dead to self are real givers. I think the greatest givers are people who are dead to self. People who are living for the Lord completely and continually with no desire to be a part of this world. God will bless you beyond words when you begin to live that kind of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 21, that I may cause those who love me to inherit substance, and I'll fill all their treasures. God wants to bless you financially because he knows that you have needs on earth too. You know, 90% of your time is spent on using money for food and clothing and shelter and this and that. God cares for that because it's important in your life. It's important to him. But God cannot bless us unless we obey and we have to sow seed. It's the only way we reap and we get blessed and we prosper is when we sow seed. Sowing seed is the key to a life of blessing on earth financially. So Lord, bless them as they sow that seed today, whatever amount. Bless them gloriously. Let them prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. In Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen, amen. All right, you can give to Benny Hinn Ministries right there on the platform you're watching me on. Or you can go to our website, bennyhinn.org. Or you can simply text BHM 45777. BHM 45777. One more thing I want to say. Be careful of those people who are saying they are Benny Hinn and they are not. There are people on social media today claiming to be me on the platforms, many platforms. We're continually having to take them down and notify through our lawyers that these people are not honest. If you get a message asking you for money without seeing my face, talking to you like I'm doing now, don't send them not even a cent because they are not honest. So please be careful, be wise. Don't believe what people tell you. There's only one Benny Hinn and the guy's right here talking to you, and you can see me and hear me. But if you get a message online somehow, and you see pictures, or anybody can get pictures, you know. If you see pictures of me with my wife, pictures of me with my kids, asking you for money, it's a lie. Plain and simple. Okay? Because I love you, I want to protect you. The only time you'll hear me ask for anything is when I'll come to you right here, face to face. All right. Much love. Shalom.